In the world today, we are in an authority crisis. Wind up your mind, because the cultural war between God and no God is on. It's time for Faith Factor.
Faith Factor.
Conflict.
Bible.
Reality.
Faith Factor. It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on. Faith Factor.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world. This is Faith Factor. My name is Rod Hembry, and today we are in a cultural war. There are those that say life is nothing but an accident, a cosmic joke, played on us by some kind of random god of chance. And then there are those who say that there is a God, but that he's watching from a distance, not involved with us today. And still, there are others who say there is a God, but he's not watching from a distance. In fact, he's personally involved with his creation. What do you say? Well, before you answer that question, let's examine a little bit about history, the results of what we live in today, an authority crisis where there is no such thing as absolute authority, and what it means to our culture, and how we can possibly survive and live in the midst of an absolute authoritative crisis. This is Faith Factor. The cultural war continues. I'm Rod Hembry, so stay there.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
This program, Faith Factor, is brought to you by the Quick Study television program. You can watch Quick Study every day on Vision Television at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, or on the Miracle Channel, CJIL in Canada, at 6 in the morning and 6:30 p.m. in the evening. If you're listening in the United States or Europe, please check your local listings for the Quick Study program, taking you through the Bible in 1 year. Faith Factor will continue in just a moment.
Faith Factor will be right back.
The cultural war continues.
There's no money.
I hate my job.
I can't take it.
I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly.
This is an accident.
I want a divorce.
Please see a doctor.
It's cancer.
Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Discover life's answer in the Bible. This message has been brought to you by FamilyNet and your Southern Baptist friends.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Once again, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. This is Rod Hembry. We are looking at the cultural war as it relates to an authority crisis. Now, when I talk about an authority crisis, I'm talking about the belief that there is no such thing as absolute authority. We're going to talk about this today on Faith Factor. We're going to end in a piece of music. Very, very interesting. Before we do that, I'm going to read from what is known as the New Testament. Some call it the Sacred Christian Scripture. The book is called 1 John. There are 27 books in the New Testament. This particular book was written by one of the disciples of the man named Jesus, who was fully God and fully man. I'll justify that statement later on. The man named Jesus, he was the only disciple who was present, it seems, at the crucifixion scene. Here is what he would write to the church after the death and resurrection of the one called Jesus Christ. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, and he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that is to say, exposed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, capital H, his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In the children of God and the children of the devil are exposed or manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Interesting. Back to the scripture. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were right with God. Now do not marvel, my friends, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. He who does not love each other abides in death. Whoever hates, that is to say, actively despises with mood, his brother or his humankind is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. That's 1 John 5, it's the first verse through 15. Now, this is a very interesting passage that connects the behavior of an individual with the belief system in absolute authority. You say, Rod, that's not necessarily the belief in absolute authority, because we can believe in the teachings of the one called Jesus Christ without believing in absolute authority. Let me ask you this a question. On what authority do you operate those principles? If you believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, on what authority do you believe those? That he was just a good man, that he somehow conjured up these teachings out of the goodness of his mind? And see, the fact is that when you look at the one called Jesus Christ, you have one of two things you can look at. Either he is Lord or he is a lunatic. You say, no, Rod, I think he's a good moral man. Well, the problem with that theory is that good moral men don't lie. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. So therefore, we have to rule out the idea that Jesus was just a good moral man. Either Jesus Christ was completely crazy, or he was in fact who he said he would be. Now, hold that into your mind for just a moment as we continue with Faith Factor. I want to introduce to you a couple of concepts. First of all, basic logic tells us that good brings right, which eventually leads to truth. Good brings right, which leads to truth. And basic logic also tells us that evil brings wrong and leads to lies. Now let me give you an example of evil. Hitler was an evil man. He brought wrong. He brought the desecration of the Jewish people, and he tyrannized the world. Evil brings wrong, which produced lies. Hitler's own people believed that they were a superior race. That was directly a result of lies. Now, good brings right action, which leads to truth. Our demonstration of absolute truth or belief in God as those who are believers in Jesus Christ should demonstrate truth. In other words, our lives should demonstrate truth. Now, whether they do or not, that's a whole other question. And that's exactly what this particular passage in the book of 1 John is telling us, that our lives must be exposed in such a way that they demonstrate exactly what we believe. Now, if you are a biblical believer, if there is any TV ministry or radio ministry that is biblical, then it must operate on the authority which only comes from the Bible. In other words, if you're a biblical believer, if you're a biblical Christian, then it's right of me to ask you to operate your life strictly and only on the authority of the Word of God. Not on my word, not on the word of leadership, not on the word of man, not on the word of government or institution, but operate on the Word of God. Now, this is important to remember. That doesn't mean that we go out and rebel against authorities. Quite the contrary. The Bible tells us to pray for those in leadership. The Bible tells us to live peaceably where possible when the laws of man do not conflict with the laws of God. But the question is, why would you do that if you do not believe in biblical authority? If you believe the Bible is not the Word of God, then why would you operate your life according to it? You see, you have to take the Bible either all or nothing. You can't take pieces of the Bible and say, well, I believe in that, but I don't believe in this. And this is where we get in trouble with a lot of our friends. The Bible is not a buffet. You don't get to take one and not take the other. The Bible itself is the whole Word of God. Now, that's very important as we continue. I can see that there may be some people that really disagree with that statement that I just said. But before you go too further with that disagreement, let me just ask you three questions. There are three critical questions that we must answer when we address this topic of absolute authority. First of all, if there is a God, then is he speaking to us? That's a very good question. Secondly, if there is a God and he's speaking to us, is what he said enough? And the third question is, if there is a God and he's speaking to us and it is enough, then do we accept what he has spoken to us? Now let's quickly go through these three questions. If there is a God, then is he speaking to us? Well, if the answer to that question in your mind is yes, then the question expands to this. Then where are his words and what do they mean? Okay, hold that thought. Very interesting. Where are his words and what do they mean? If there is a God, then he is speaking to us. We answered yes to that question. Let's go to the second question. If there is a God and he's speaking to us, is it enough? If the answer to the second question is yes, what God has said through his word is enough, then the follow-up question continues to be, then where is God's word and what does it mean? You see how the logical pattern flows here? Now let's go to the third question then. If there is a God and he's speaking to us, we say yes. If there is a God and he's speaking to us and it is enough, then here's the third question. If there is a God and he's speaking to us and it is enough, do we accept it? In other words, do we listen? And if the answer to that question is yes, we listen, then the follow-up question is still the same. Where are his words and what do they mean? Now, these three questions help draw us to the situation we look at today of an absolute authority crisis. I submit to you, we're going to take a break, but I submit to you before we go to break that the number one reason people do not accept the Word of God is not because where it comes from, but because of what it says. The number one reason people do not accept the Word of God is not because of where it comes from, but because of what it says. You see, the Bible says if you hate, you might as well be a murderer. The Bible says if you commit adultery, well, that's not acceptable to the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you steal, if you lie, these are things that are not acceptable to the Word of God. But what the world says in our authority crisis is, well, we're only human. Just do what you want to do and we'll figure it out in the end. Now, that's a problem. When we return, we'll talk about this problem of the authority crisis and where it has led us today because we've been in a very bad situation. I'm Rod Hembree. This is Faith Factor. Stay there as we continue on the authority crisis in our culture today.
Faith Factor. We'll be right back.
The cultural war continues.
Oh, man, do you remember the elevator music of the 60s? I used to sit in Howard Johnson's when I ate my favorite clams and listen to this elevator music, which drove me crazy. Then you get on the elevator and you wait and you wait and you waste your time moving from one floor to the next. Well, let me tell you that here at this radio program, Faith Factor, which is really Quick Study Radio, we have produced something to help you not waste your time. It is called the Quick Study Bible Guide. There are 12 of them printed throughout the year, one for every month. And this program is designed to help you go through the Bible in 1 year. Now, our idea is that if you truly want to know more about the Bible, then the best way to do that is to read the Bible. A lot of people have difficulty doing that, you know. Well, we've produced this set of 12 books, one sent every month, to help you do that, to help you work your way through the Bible, and it's very, very exciting. Now, you can become a part of helping this radio program stay on the air, Faith Factor and some of the others, by simply writing to us and asking for the pocket guide and making an offering in any amount. We simply ask that you pray about it, ask what God would have you do, and I trust the work of the Holy Spirit in you. When you write, ask to be a part of the Quick Study Pocket Guides. Now, on these particular pocket guides, each page has a day dedicated to it and a specific reading with 5 daily life lessons, a little bit about what we read, a prayer for the day, and some interesting points. So, this is a very exciting way to get you developing a habit and not waste that time listening to elevator music or whatever, and to take the most of your life and dedicate it to finding out the truth of God. So if you'd like to do that, make an offering in any amount. When you make an offering, please make the checks to Quick Study Radio. That's Quick Study Radio. Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. Remember to ask for the Quick Study Pocket Guide. That's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. This will help you read through the Bible in 1 year. It's very exciting. And it's not too late to become involved. And any proceeds that come in above the cost of sending this particular these booklets to you, we'll use for the production and airtime of this particular radio program. Thank you in advance for your support, and really, you're the main sponsor of this program, the radio listeners of Faith Factor. Once again, our address is Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, LIW5G2. It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on. Rod Hembry back with you with Faith Factor. I want to talk to you just for a moment about what happens in a culture when there are, in fact, no absolutes. In fact, people actually believe that, you know what, there's no such thing as absolutes, I'm not going to believe in absolutes, therefore, I'm going to run my life accordingly. What can you expect from a culture that has what we call an authority crisis? All right, it's a very good question. Now, this is, by the way, this is the reason that we do this program, is because when I talk about a cultural war, what I'm talking about is a thinking war, a war in the mind. And this is very important, because behind every action, behind every person, behind every philosophy, behind every worldview is a certain kind of spirit. There's a reason that they have achieved that particular worldview and that particular thinking in their mind. First of all, when we talked about those three questions, is there a God, is he talking to us, and is what he said, is it enough? You know, we can come up with all kinds of answers to that, but if the answer to all these three questions that we talked about is no, then the idea of God, an absolute authority, is dismissed. The idea of absolute authority becomes incredible, and I use that in the real sense of the word, incredible, no credibility. In fact, the idea of absolute authority has absolutely no credibility, and the result is you achieve authority by power, violence, or both. In fact, if you were to get yourself involved in a society in which there's no such thing as absolute authority, here are some of the results. First of all, there will be a convulsion struggle, power struggle, of violence, and attempts to secure authority. And we see that evident in the world today. The second thing we will see in a culture that says there's no such thing as absolute authority is there will be a low value on all human life. In fact, all life on creation. That we achieve our meaning through consumption and through the use of that life. I remember Jimmy Snow, a friend of mine, his father was Hank Snow, the famous country western singer. One person came up to him and was trying to explain to him about who God was. And he said, you know, Hank, one of these days when God gets a hold of you, he's really going to use you. And Hank Snow's critical and cynical response to that was, well, God might as well use me. Everybody else has. And you see, when you're in a culture, and by the way, Nashville has been called the city of broken covenants, but that's another story for another day. When you get into a society that has no authoritative value to it, there is no relative authority, there is no absolute authority, but it's all relativism, there will be a low value on human life, a low value on creation, with no word of God, there is no work of God, there is no creation of God. Another symptom of a culture with no absolute authority, doesn't believe in it, is absolute truth will be rejected. And with no absolute word of God, there is no truth, and truth becomes an earned impression or a feeling. In other words, truth becomes something that I feel and that you earn from me. Now, I'm a television producer of 25 years. I've been producing radio for about that same amount of time. And I can tell you that if you go on the air with a truth, let's say 2 plus 2 is 4. That's what you put on as a commercial. A man standing there, he says 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then the commercial goes on. Well, that makes no impact on anybody. But if you come up with a beautiful song, a jingle by a hit artist, and all this great graphics and everything, and you say 2 plus 2 equals 4, then somehow the truth of that second commercial stands out in our sensate culture more than the absolute truth, the basic truth, the unseasoned, the unentertaining truth of the previous commercial. So truth becomes an earned impression. It becomes a creative expression of feeling. Also, in a culture that does not regard absolute truth, let me tell you that history itself becomes relative. There is no truth in history, recent or ancient, because truth is earned. It's an earned human achievement. Thus, history becomes a reflection of human opinion. This is what happens in a culture that has no absolute truth. And by the way, in a culture with no absolute truth, the young and the old are vulnerable. They will become victims of the opinions, the opinion-based lifestyles of the powerful. The so-called God-given will is jettisoned for the selfishness of the whims of the powerful. Now, this is the kind of culture that is produced when there's no such thing as absolute truth. Is this the kind of culture you want to live in? Is this really the best way to determine authority? Let's fight it out and see who wins. Let's hash it out and see who has the most money. You know, they say money talks. Why? You ever wondered that? People say to me, you know, money is power. Why is money power? That's my question, especially to the believer. You know, Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one, love the other, love one, hate the other. And yet in our culture today, money is power. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many wonderful believers who are very wealthy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wealth. What I'm saying is the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is power. You see, in a culture which has no absolute authority, those in the power structures of law and leadership will steal the God-given free will of the people with no word of God. You see, there is no God-given anything. All right, so the question is, how in the world do you resolve yourself in a culture that has no absolute authority? And by the way, I'm describing the culture of North America today, particularly North America and Western Europe. There is no absolute authority in the broad sweep of things. And so our values become based on violence or power. Well, I go back to 1 John chapter 3, and this is a message for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully to the scripture that I read at the beginning. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 say, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, that is to say, God is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, 1 John 3, verses 8 and 9, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And by the way, let me just stop here for a moment. Is Jesus Christ known for all the money he had? Is he known for all the military might he had? Is he known for all the political prowess he had? No, Jesus Christ is known for his servanthood. He's known for his absolute unselfishness. He's noted for his spiritual authority. So I go back to the scripture. For this purpose, the Son of God was made known that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So in this, little children of God, according to 1 John 3, I'm reading verse 10, the children of the devil are exposed. Whoever does not practice rightness with God is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, this is a reference to Genesis chapter 4, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, the devil, and he murdered his brother. That's when murder was invented by mankind, by the way. And why did Cain murder his brother? Because Cain's works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. And so John goes on to say, so don't marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Listen to that line. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates, and this word in Greek means actively despises, his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now what's the point? On this Faith Factor program, how do you combat the cultural war? The only way to combat the cultural war is for us as individuals who believe in absolute authority to act like we believe in it and live it through living in the Spirit, living according to what the Bible tells us to live. This is so important. You know, there's a recent poll. It said that 90% of people pray, but less than 11% of people bother to read their Bible on a daily basis. In other words, there's a whole lot of people telling God what they want, and not very many people hearing what God wants of them. This is very important. And so today I challenge you as a believer in Jesus Christ, think these things through. God desires us to follow His word and His way. We must yield to Him. And by the way, Jesus Christ set the example. He said, "Not my will be done, Father, but your will be done." Father God, Jesus Christ, there are those listening today who have never thought about how you established your authority on this evil planet, this planet that is infested with Satan at our own choice from the Garden of Eden. And yet you came and you died on the cross and you rose again that we might be freed from this curse. I simply pray today that there are those who would respond and understand that the absolute authority you possess will bring them into peace with God. You said, Lord, in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So, Jesus, I ask now that if there are those listening on this radio program, that they would call out your name, Jesus Christ, call out to you and learn of you and take on your yoke, which is a lot lighter than their own personal difficulties and problems. In Jesus' name,